Welcome back, everybody, to WFBR 95.3 FM's coverage of the boys' Sweet 16 here at Rupp Arena, Lexington, Kentucky. Jeff Carver in our pregame show, and as a special guest, proud to welcome Oscar Combs. Oscar, the founder of the Cat's Paws magazine, wrote for the yearbook for several years, but now, of course, does the lead-in call-in radio show for the UK Basketball Network. Oscar, good to see you.
Always good to be with you. Exciting time of year. March Madness, nothing like it.
Nothing like it. And we're, of course, here watching the Sweet 16, but a lot of people are sneaking off to adjacent rooms to catch a little college basketball.
It is March Madness, whether it's high school or college, and boy, what a first couple of days that the NCAA's had. I mean, you know, it just seems like the lower level of the NCAA keeps rising up. The top level maybe has come back to the pack a little bit. And there are no gimmies anymore. Your ones versus your 16s are pretty set, but after that, nothing's a major upset.
What a great day it was for Rowan County folks yesterday.
Well, it certainly was. Morehead getting that big win. I mean, you know, it's the little guys that finally get to shine. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you ride it for everything you can.
And the Kentucky Wildcats, a lot of nail biters, really had them chewed down to the nub yesterday, and that Brandon Knight shot at the end. Boy, they pulled out one that was could have certainly sent them home early.
Well, you know, there's an old saying is survive in advance. And, boy, that put that test right to the tee there. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you go look at the finals, four teams that get into the NCAA cheer, you always look back and you see a game early in the round sometimes where a team that wins a national championship, look, wow, they were beaten in that first game. Yet they're here in the championship game and may win it. So just because you play a close game doesn't mean you're going to go out in the next one. Unless you think you can't go out in the next one, then you go out in the next one.
Yeah, that certainly brings to mind the 1978 team Joby Hall led. The Wildcats almost got beat that first round.
Yeah, that was my second year in Lexington with the Cat's Paws. And I'll never forget the game in Knoxville, Tennessee, when he benched three starters. He started Dwayne Casey was one of the guys that went. And in foul places, Stokely Athletic Center, where Joe Hall really had a difficult time winning, whether it was Tennessee or an NCAA. And people looked at it and said, wow.
You know, Oscar, you don't see that much anymore out of coaches where they'll bench players to send a message. Is the mindset of the student-athlete now just different than it was back in those days?
I think the mindset of both the student-athlete and the coach, during those days back in the 70s and 80s, you still had a factor where the pine could teach a lesson for it. Today's kids, I don't know that that type of thing motivates kids like it did. It worked back then. I mean, you know, once those starters were on the bench and they were down, I think, 8 or 9 at the half, and when they came back in, you know, and they were still down 7 or 8, they got the message. This day and time, kids are more independent, and I don't know that it works that way. You have to sort of get them to be motivated on their own. A good example was yesterday, Josh Harrelson, with about 12 minutes to go in the game, the only senior on the team. And he said he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he looks up, and he's down 5 points. He said, you know, this is my last game. If something don't happen, it's over. I don't want it to be over. And it didn't take a coach to tell him that.
Let me ask you about the prospects now for Kentucky. It looks like a sure rematch, of course, with West Virginia, a team that knocked the Cats out of a Final Four appearance last year. What's up with the Bob Huggins-John Calipari matchup?
Well, you know, it's a different game this year because there's different players involved. Fortunately for Kentucky is they have perimeter shooters this year they didn't have a year ago. And Huggins has always played a great 1-3-1 zone defense, which if you don't have a good perimeter shooting or good outside shooting, can cause you trouble. Now, Kentucky went, I don't say something like 0-for-20 or 0-for-21 from the three-point line before they ever connected last year. And yet they were still in the game. So that's the good news. That now the, back to the other news is he's lost 8 out of 9 to Bob Huggins. Well, you also got to look, go back and look and see where all that. Most of those losses were the first 3 years that John Calipari was at Memphis when they played Cincinnati twice a year in their league. So, you know, you can take 6 of them and say, well, he was, you know, just trying to get his team together. But the fact remains he is 1-8, and that's something the media and the fans will talk about until you win.
Oscar, how far do you think the Cats can get in this tournament?
Well, realistically, if you take your blinders off, you're just a fan sitting there, you have to look and say, you know, it would really be nice if they could beat West Virginia and give Ohio State a good game. They don't have, they're not at the talent level that Ohio State is. Although, there is not that much difference once you get beyond Sullinger. The fact is, Ohio State only plays seven people. So the problem Kentucky's had so far playing with a six-man rotation is not as great when they play Ohio State, if they get there. And then the second thing is, you're a six-man rotation versus seven-man rotation. So now if Sullinger should suddenly have a limited game or get in foul trouble, then you're back bingo, you know. But the thing is, Kentucky cannot get in the mindset of thinking about Ohio State. If they do, West Virginia takes care. And guess what? That almost happened yesterday. All people wanted to talk about was Ohio State. Oh, yeah, West Virginia, too. Ohio State, West Virginia. And there was Princeton. I mean, just with one point in the top.
That's right. Well, let's turn our attention now to high school basketball. We're here on the grand dance floor in the Great House of Rupp Arena, one of college basketball's meccas. And, of course, a lot of bobble-headed kids this week making their first appearance ever here. What have you saw so far that's impressed you?
Well, you know, the one thing, it's just the fact it's still so tradition-rich, whether it's the players change, but the game is the same. I think the players are a little more physical, a little more athletic than they were 20 years ago, but it's still the game. It's still the rallying point throughout the year for the small communities versus the big schools, and that's what it's really all about. I see some nice players out here, but this is more about a week-long, a year-long journey than it is just winning one title. There are no losers when you get to the Sweet 16.
Do you have any special memories, any games over the last 20 years that stand out in your mind?
I got to go far beyond 20 years. I go back to the 50s when they were played at the Coliseum. I'd like to say I'd go back to the 40s at the Army in Louisville, but I don't. But in the 50s, there were some really, really great games, and from the different regions. The 50s was basically known as the era of the mountain schools. And you had Hazard come down, you had Hyman, you had the great Hart Creek team, the Inez team that beat Louisville Mail when Louisville Mail was one of the top teams in the country.
I think they were honored at halftime earlier today,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes. And so you have all these teams, but you know, I guess the two games that I remember the most was King Kelly Coleman playing against Carr Creek for Wayland in the third place game that night. And they'd given him a pretty rough time. The fans had, the media was brutal on him. And he came out and scored, and I forget the exact numbers, up in the 50s. And when he left, he just walked off the floor, pulled his jersey off, threw it in the crowd, and walked off and never to be seen again.
You know, I talked to Wayne Gounce yesterday, and he said he thinks King Kelly Coleman is perhaps the best high school player he's ever seen. Would you agree with that?
Certainly here in Kentucky. I've never seen it. He could do so many things so effortlessly. I mean, it just seemed like everything just come natural to him. And those particular 4 or 5 years from 53 through 58 were really, really awesome years. And then you in the 60s, the Louisville schools took over and the Lexington schools. And, of course, you know as well as me that it will never change in this state. It's urban Kentucky versus rural Kentucky, and everybody's against the Lexington Louisville schools, and that's the way it maybe should be.
Oscar, finally want to talk to you about what you're doing these days. You sold the Cat's Paws back in the late 1990s. I understand that you're mostly retired.
Yes, pretty much so. I do the pregame show for football and basketball on the UK Network and get to do things like this, you know, when I want to. I get up in the morning around 8 or 8:30, and if I feel like I want to get up, I get up. If I feel like I don't, I go back to sleep.
Well, we are honored to have you over to talk to us, and we look forward to hearing a lot more from you in your pregame radio call-in shows, and nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Hope to see you again.
Okay, Oscar Combs joining us as our pregame guest. And we'll be back with more high school Sweet 16 coverage from Rupp Arena after this break on 95.3 WFBR.